Welcome to the Project Joy Radio Show, and good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Chris.
Good morning. Welcome to Wednesday.
Welcome to Wednesday. Yes.
Very good. So we have an interesting practice focus for the day. Shall I launch
it? Remind us.
Okay.
I'll tell you, between the peace quotes and these, and the, you know, there's so much wisdom coming in, and I have trouble remembering which one I'm practicing with for which.
Exactly
practice.
So.
Yeah. No. Oh, it's a horrible problem to have, isn't it? Just so many wonderful, wise sayings to inform us all day long.
Yeah.
What a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If we had to choose a problem, that might be one that we could get along with.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sure. All right, great. So the quote is, "The best way out is always through." Robert Frost. We can waste a life trying to avoid. If we shrink enough, we won't be a big target. If we ignore something, maybe it will go away. But that doesn't work. How do we know that? It hasn't. Today, record and listen a reminder to yourself that you are on a hero's journey and that you're a hero for having started and for staying the course.
Those voices really don't want us to know that. You know, whatever we're doing in this regard is not a big deal. It's not that much. Come on. Hero? Really? Heroes are different. They're people who are doing really extraordinary things. And which is true. I mean, we have heroes who have just been in places and done extraordinary things in a given moment. But to stay with something like going up against conditioned mind and ending suffering moment by moment by moment takes a whole lot more.
Yeah. Yeah. And just because those other folks are doing that in a public way and getting that kind of recognition really doesn't detract from that individual effort that we're all doing as
That's
heroes
right.
on this path. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, let's check in with our first caller.
All right.
First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Chris. It's Ramita.
Hi, Ramita.
Hey, Ramita.
Hello. This is, like so much, this is perfect timing. There's been so much content in my life, and the sensations in the body are just like on 10. And, you know, I've been practicing with the hara, and it gives another meaning to, you know, like in the way out is through, like dropping down through all of this mental chatter and resting in the hara, resting in the belly.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that is lovely. Very simple, straightforward, and ever available, isn't it?
Yes. Yes. And it's amazing when I can do that, and of course the mentor's been reminding me, my recordings remind me, but when I can do that, it's such a clear example of how the problems don't change, they just dissolve. They go into a different perspective. You know?
Uh-huh. And can you say a little about that, Ramita? So I've got a problem, and the habit, the conditioned habit, is to noodle it. It's really important that I think about this a lot, figure it out, because that's how I'm gonna get to the bottom of this. So if I'm focusing on the hara, how does that take care of that problem?
Well, an example is there's been some content between me and a neighbor, and texting back and forth and emailing back and forth. And just like you said, conditioning wants to noodle it. And this morning in meditation, you know, the mentor just reminded me, just relax, just sink down. And attention went to the belly, and I felt breathing, and I felt centered, And I recognize that, you know, life is taking care of me. I'm breathing. Everything's really okay. And the urgency that's been going on in this interpersonal conversation, there's no need for that. We will have opportunities to talk, but right now it's just not a problem. I'm breathing, mm-hmm. I'm okay, and the mentor's with me. I'm part of a bigger world than just a perception of mm-hmm. I have a different thought than that person has.
Mm-hmm. And it feels, it sounds like that part of that is the this too shall pass perspective.
Yes.
Right? That realization that there, for conditioned mind, there's always some big that I need to be involved in and upset over. But looking at my life, it's all passed away. It was all resolved in one way or another. And my agonizing and getting all urgent about it doesn't actually seem to have done anything except made me unhappy. So,
yeah. Yeah, made me unhappy and probably perpetuated the conflict or the misunderstanding.
Yeah.
So to be able to sit with, you know, me breathing into the belly, I recognize I don't necessarily have to do anything. Life is going on. I can just sit here and see what the next thing is rather than doing the next thing. See what
mm-hmm.
happens. Have a pause
mm-hmm.
here.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Oh, it does sound relaxing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Ever-expanding faith.
Yes. 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 Mm-hmm. Practice is giving me enough experience to know that life will take care of everything. And, and you know, like getting in there and thinking I have to do something to get through something, I have to resolve something, is just perpetuating the whole world of duality and conditioned mind and I'm in my head. And just dropping down mm-hmm. into the body is such a relief, such a relief.
And, you know, Ramita, when you say that, it makes clear for me why there is such an aversion in conditioned mind to the body.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the body is a scary place. you don't want to live there. You want to live in the head. Because the body is where you're going to get in touch with what you feel and all that awful stuff from the past is there and anxiety. It's all in the body. So we don't want to go there. Let's go up into the head and think about things and figure things out and worry about things. And because that programming is so ingrained because, as you say, dropping into the Tara, into the body and just being with the body as the body lives, just being with the breath and letting everything relax, all of that conditioned, in quotes, reality just falls away, is shown to be what it is, just an illusion.
Yeah, yeah. There's a much deeper reality, and by
mm-hmm.
dropping in there, it's like you fall through it, and it literally feels like a going through it. It's still there, but I'm now in touch with something deeper and more authentic,
mm-hmm.
like
mm-hmm.
the body,
more
the real, something that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. The eternal now.
Yeah, yeah.
It's where the eternal now lives, in the aura. Yeah.
Really.
All
good.
Right. Well, thank you, Ramita. That's really helpful.
Thank you, Sherry. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Thanks, Ramita. Yeah, that's where I was going with that too, Sherry, that in order to be looking for a way out, it seems we have to be in opposition to something, to what is. There's some self-hate involved in that.
Mm-hmm.
And that just
mm-hmm.
as we drop into the hara, as the attention goes to be with the body, then that just can't come with us.
Yeah, and when you say the self-hate, Chris, I just saw that message that I might get in conditioned mind that you can't handle what's happening. You can't just be with what's happening because you're
yep.
not going to be able to stand it.
Yep.
That's self-hating. It's not a direct, you know, that you're a loser. But it is an affirmation that you, human being, are just not equal to life. And so you better try to figure things out. Get around it.
Yep.
Hide out. Avoid. Yeah, it is self-hating, isn't it?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yep. And then all that just drops away. And and it's such an interesting catch-22 with that, because as we drop into the body, conditioning does everything it can to, like you say, to scare us out of that place, to really prove mm-hmm. that it is a dangerous place. And yet when mm-hmm. we do what Ramita is suggesting, just hang out there a little bit, we find quite the opposite is true, that it's really conditioning causing the ruckus, and we're fine.
Right. And we're fine. Yeah. And it's so nice for the body. You know, if you want to do something really good and healthy for the body, inhabit it. Relax into it, right? Let it rest and relax. Let everything in the body do what it does so beautifully when it's not being drowned in adrenaline, in cortisol from conditioned minds. Oh, no. It's a much happier place for the body to be.
Yeah. Peaceful.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. Well, let's check in with our next caller.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Karen.
Hey, Karen.
Hi. Well, I loved that last conversation, because when I went to the hara, to me that's dropping into awareness. That's the
mm-hmm.
movement, and
mm-hmm.
that was beautiful. Yeah, I love that, and I love this whole, the whole quote, and I had some content recently where life just put me in a position where I wasn't able to avoid, I wasn't, you know, how that happens sometimes.
Oh, yeah. And after it's over, we're so grateful. At the time, Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I got caught in something. I was traveling, and I got caught in that big evacuation that they had in Northern California.
Oh, my goodness.
And I didn't know what was happening, because I had to, notice, wow, what's going on? There was a stream of cars going 2 miles an hour headed south, and I was headed north, and the gas lines are coming out of the gas stations, and that was my first clue. And then people started calling me and texting me, and are you okay? And do you know what's going on? And so then I started getting information and people
wow.
trying to help me and all that. And finally I had to just, nothing was working, because at that point I was in it and couldn't move. I was in the gridlock. And so I had to just say, you know what, none of this is helpful, what people are telling me, because you're not here. So I need to just, be with myself and see what the right thing to do, see how I'm going to proceed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I spent about 4 hours going about 30 miles in the path of the calamity
wow.
that was going to happen.
Wow.
And in that 4 hours, pretty hard to maintain terror that long. So, and
mm-hmm.
then here comes the moon.
So Karen, if I may,
yeah.
if I may, for people who don't know what you're talking about, the prediction was in the next hour, when the evacuation order was given, a 30-foot wall of water could come down right through where all of you were.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So there you all are in your little cars trying to get out of the path of a 30-foot wall of water that could come roaring down through there at any minute. Just to give people a picture of what you were attempting to stay in your horror and breathe through.
Yeah, and we were all, you know, we were all going like, we were either stopped or going about 2 miles an hour. And so there was, what I noticed, a beautiful thing is that I went to acceptance. You know, it was kind of that, wow, I never thought things would end this way. Like, you know, there was that that surprise. And then at one point, it felt like that the Zen story about the strawberry and the tigers, because in the midst of it, here comes this beautiful moon coming up. I'm watching it come over the horizon to the east. And it was just, it mean the joy of that moon and the beauty of it, and to just say, you know, it's just to, I mean, I just don't think I've ever enjoyed a moon coming up or that it looks so beautiful to me. And there was a just sort of a deep acceptance of whatever, you know, there wasn't anywhere to go. There was no...
Right. If this is it, if this is it, what a beautiful moon.
Yeah. And now I can see there's a lot of those times because, you know, it's, we can't avoid, we one day we will be the big target, you know, if you want to talk about, if we look at death. And so anyway, it was just such a teaching for me and such an opportunity, and thank you, practice, for being there with me and supporting me through it. That's what it felt like. I had this practice that could just allow me to be there, and I don't know. It was just
Go ahead.
One last thing. I felt so alive. So alive, you know, that's where I went to, the acceptance. I'm, you know, how alive I felt, the beauty of the moon. It was a very spiritual experience.
Mm-hmm. So present. And it's easy to, and probably fairly accurate to project that yours was not an experience that many people in that situation were sharing. Probably people actually felt very alive. But when we are caught in conditioning, all of that aliveness gets turned into fear, worry, dread, terror, anger, upset, blame, instead of being able just to breathe in that moon and feel really alive and grateful.
Yes, because when you said that, I could just see in at first, conditioning did take the experience, you know, it did when it was first evolving and I was coming, you know, coming to, like, seeing what was going on, that, and it was like, no, you know, if I'm going to go, I'm going to be here. And, so anyway, it was just such an interesting thing. And it really is a hero's journey, and it really is, I mean, for all of us, even people that don't know, we all are heroes. So.
Yes. And. And the thing that I love about your conclusion, if we could say there was a conclusion in this, is that realization that whether we know it or not, every moment is that life and death. Because you could have been just driving along there with your phone turned off and whatever and wondering what party you missed since everybody's going in the other direction and just, you know, blithely driven into a 30-foot wall of water. And, again, for each of us, one day that's going to happen, and we don't know what that moment is. So to go to sleep and think, well, I don't really need to be here. I don't really need to face this. I don't really need to breathe through this, as Ramita was describing. I don't really need to be present because I just don't, because same old, same old. But to really get, nope. It, this could be it. I don't want to miss it.
Yeah.
And there's nothing depressing about that, is there? You know, people would say, oh, my God, you people are focused on death all the time. How morbid is that? It's not. It's not morbid.
No.
It's the exact opposite of that. I don't want to miss a single second because I don't know how many more seconds I have.
Yeah. Well, it's, I think, living with the knowledge of that, or the, you know, that is a very real thing, helps me be more alive. And it certainly was true in that experience.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm glad it didn't happen. And I guess it's still, the jury's still kind of out on that, right? Because we have more storms coming.
Yeah, and we just, people are working hard, and I'm fine where I am, by the way, as far as we know, but it is really something. So, Well, thank you.
Thank you, Karen.
Thanks, Karen. Sure, that reminds me of some of those Carlos Castaneda books where one of the points made there was, let death be your advisor, I believe is the way he phrased it, something like that.
Mm.
And just seems really helpful to, like you say, to know that we don't know how many seconds we have left. So if there's a 30-foot wall of water approaching, I'd rather be in the club of enjoying the full moon as it's arising. So, yeah.
Yeah. That is a Zen image, isn't it? That full moon coming up over the mountain is, yes, exactly. And there's every moment of life is that, if we're present to it. That kind of magic and beauty is always here for us if we're present to it.
Yeah.
It doesn't change, right? The magic and the beauty doesn't change. It's we who change, right? We're either present to it and enjoying it and living in that state of gratitude, or we're unconscious and we're missing it and we're unhappy. Those are the only two things that happen to a human being.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
You know, the other thing that occurred to me, Sherry, is we may have some folks on the call that are not familiar with the hara, or where that is, or what breathing through the hara might be like. So I was wondering if you could say
in case they don't, so keep them from jumping off and starting to Google like crazy, right? So
yeah.
The hara is the area roughly of the second chakra for people who think in terms of chakras, and it's right below the navel, a couple of inches below the navel, through that whole area, and it's often referred to, of course, as center, and like that.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
Did that speak to it?
Yeah, I think that's great.
Okay.
And let's see what our next caller is up to.
All right. Boy, people are doing some exciting things.
Next
well,
caller,
hello
you're
there.
Not live on the air. Go ahead.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
We can. You sound a little far away, but we can hear you.
Well, believe it or not, I'm driving into work during the show, but it's wonderful to have this as I'm dealing with LA traffic. Sherry, this is Joni.
Oh, hi, Joni.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. And you're in LA traffic, so we have a sense of how you are. Glad to be with you. Glad to be supporting you on your drive. What are you seeing about this?
Oh, what, the traffic, or you mean the whole conversation?
The whole conversation. Yeah, not avoiding, going through, you're having that experience.
Well, I have to tell you when I...
Oh, my gosh. Did we just lose her, Chris?
Like, I don't want to go through.
Oh.
She's halfway there.
Yeah, Joni, you kind of broke up there for a minute. Can you say that again?
I'm sorry. I was saying that I was when I first saw what the quote was for the day, I went like no, you know, conditioning came up because I didn't want to go through, right? You know, it's like no, I don't want to have to deal with the hero's journey. I don't want to have to do all that because, of course, like it sounds like a number of people, a lot of content stuff was going. But I want to share with you something that has really always been helpful to me since I began practice with you in the monastery. And it came in again last night, and I'm just so grateful. I just want you to know how grateful I am that I have it. The last two nights I've not been sleeping that well because of, you know, my mind got up, caught up into some content stuff. And last night I woke up and I did something I hadn't done in a while, but I have in my living room, I have on my bottom shelf, I have a books, and I love to read. And then I have one section that's just devoted to Sherry Huber books. And I pulled out the Fear book, the revised book that I got at the retreat in December. And I sat down and I did what I often do, which is to let it kind of fall open to any page. And it was probably about 3 in the morning. And the page it fell to was where someone is asking the guide about a friend they had who was terrified of the dark. Do you remember that in the book? And the answer from the guide just took me right back to center, to what it's all about. That, I mean, I was just so blown away that the whole answer, you know, this was about somebody, an adult who's terrified of the dark. And instead of going into judgment and even the content that it was the dark, that the answer from the guide was all about taking care of the person who had the fear. I mean, literally doing everything to, I mean, really, like the mentor assisting the person to make themselves feel as safe as possible. And it took it back to that, it took me back to, of course, the most essential relationship, to the eternal compassion from the mentor, you know, to the frightened child. And and I, of course, I identified, you know, as I read it, I realized, oh my gosh, you know, and I've been feeling so overwhelmed and incapable because I've been a frightened child and coming from a frightened child place to deal with things that feel very adult. And I just want you to know that just having that there, it just put it all into perspective for me again. You know, it just helped me to realize again, it's not about the content. And I know an earlier caller, you know, that came up earlier as well. It's not about the content, and it's about
That's right. It's not about the content, and what you describe, of course, is the whole point of what we're doing, right? Because what happened with you is that you went from identifying with a frightened child who was overwhelmed and felt incapable, and is, right? Because frightened children are not the people we want running our lives, conducting our affairs. And because of practice, the practice you've done, you stepped out of that identification and into that mentoring place, right?
Yes.
So when you did that, now you're in conscious awareness, conscious compassion awareness. Now you're in adequacy. Now that frightened child has somebody to turn to. And that, yes, it just does toss us right into intense gratitude, doesn't it?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
You know, it's so funny because it's so odd. I'd love your thoughts on this, but I mean, lately I've been feeling like my mentor needs some mentoring.
Good. So I know we're out of time, so I'm going to give you quick thoughts on that. Okay. That is never the case. So what happens, of course, in practice is conditioned mind, egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, learns the lingo. So it learns to mimic the mentor, which a lot of people have been noticing this lately. It's the importance of listening to our recordings because we begin to catch on when conditioning has stepped in taken over the voice of the mentor and is now giving us messages that are not coming from center. So no, the mentor never needs mentoring. That's just, you can just count on that. Conscious,
okay.
Compassionate awareness never needs help.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
And so, okay, and so it's definitely the mentor with a capital M, so to speak.
That's it. That's it. That's why I always capitalize mentor, because it's not a mentor, it's the mentor. It's not your mentor or my mentor, it's the mentor. We're all tapping into the same wisdom, love, and compassion.
Thank you for the reminder, you know.
You are so welcome. Behave yourself there in traffic, okay?
Oh, I arrived to my destination. Good. On the side of the road.
All right. Very good. Very good. All right. Thank you, Joni.
Gosho. Goodbye.
Gosho. Bye-bye.
And Sherry, thank you for that reminder and for that clarification on that. And indeed, we are out of time this morning. So here is our focus for the rest of the day.
Mm-hmm.
If we did the things we are capable of, we would astound ourselves.
Mm.
Thomas Edison.
Mm. Mm.
If we simply acknowledged all that we are currently doing, we would astound ourselves. Today, bring some conscious awareness to everything you are currently doing, not just big things that the voices of egocentric, karmic conditioning, self-hate would deem worthy note of. Create a recording at the end of the day acknowledging the joy you feel in all you do and let yourself feel astounded.
Yeah. In all you do. All is the word to focus on there, right? As we're reminded, not just extraordinary things, because our lives are made up of those little moments, little this and this and this and this. And
yep.
to realize that and honor that changes everything for us.
It does.
Okay, thank
yeah.
you,
and
each one of those. Yeah.
And who's to say what's extraordinary and what's not?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, because it could be argued that every moment that we're alive is an extraordinary moment.
Pretty extraordinary. Yeah.
Pretty darn extraordinary. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Chris. Good Lord willing. Talk to you tomorrow.
That sounds grand. Till then.
All right. Thank you. Thanks,
sure.
Everybody.
Bye-bye. Take care.